revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have one of my favorite guests on, somebody who's positive and really a light to everybody who comes in contact with her. We're going to speak with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. She's a woman with three of America's most ordinary names. Susan Smith-Jones, PhD, has made extraordinary contributions in the field of holistic health, anti-aging, optimum nutrition, and balanced living. For starters, she taught students, staff, and faculty at UCLA how to be healthy and fit for 30 years. She's the founder and president of Health Unlimited, a Los Angeles-based consulting firm dedicated to optimal wellness, health education, and human potential and vitality. She's a frequent radio and TV talk show guest and motivational speaker. She's also the author of many books, including her latest three celebrated books, A Hug in a Mug, Revitalized with Fruits, Veggies, Juices, Soups, and Spices, Teas, and Healthy Living Extras, Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden, and Uplifted, 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality. And today we're going to talk about something that is right. It's very timely. First of all, we started the school year. And as every parent knows, this is probably, I used to enjoy it, but I'm sure as a child I did. But as a parent, I'm sure it's a lot of stress. And raising kids is one of the toughest and most fulfilling jobs in the world, and one for which you might feel the least prepared. Whether you're running late for school, trying to get your child to eat their vegetables, or dealing with an epic meltdown in the checkout line at a grocery store, being a parent is hard work. And as parents, many of us react in times of stress without thinking, often by yelling or being negative. But what if, instead of always reacting on autopilot, you could respond thoughtfully, keep your cool, and get from A to B on time and in one piece? Get your notepads out, everybody. In today's show, with guidance from our holistic health and lifestyle expert, Dr. Jones, you're going to learn some powerful mindfulness skills for calming your own stress response when difficult emotions arise. You'll also discover strategies for cultivating respectful communication, effective conflict resolution, and reflective listening. In the process, you'll learn to examine your own unhelpful patterns and ingrained reactions that reflect the generational habits shaped by your parents, so you can break the cycle and respond to your children in more skillful ways. And your book, Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden, it's one of the things that people can use pretty much as a guide, because it's talking about kindness and patience and teaching your children how to be kind and altering generational patterns. And I think that's what our society needs, Susan, is people to be kind to each other instead of reacting with anger and demeaning people and belittling people. And I think the world will be a better place. So I want to thank you for writing your books, and I'm looking forward to our conversation. So let's start off with your experiences in teaching children and families worldwide these important, powerful strategies, and then go into the first positive, healthy living suggestions for all families.
So, Dr. Elena, I'm so happy to be with you. And like you said, in a world where we can choose to be anything, I think we all need to choose to be kinder. And I've got a lot of experience in this area of education and children and adults, of course. I got multiple degrees at UCLA, including a degree in psychology and exercise physiology. I got a teaching credential, and then for 30 years, I taught students, staff, and faculty how to be healthy and fit. And for decades, I've traveled the world teaching parents how to raise more warm-hearted, emotionally smart children and happy families, and teaching everyone how to be healthy. So it's my passion. I love talking about this. I wish we had 3 hours. And I'm thinking maybe we start with, I've got these 10 tips. And then and before we start with the 10 tips, Let me start off just briefly talking about how to keep kids healthy, and then we'll go into more mental and emotional. So keeping kids healthy, I always say, start with variety. You know, we've heard that expression, variety is the spice of life. And in terms of being healthy, always have a variety of colorful fruits and vegetables on hand, and let the kids help with the selection of the produce in the market and the preparation of food at home. Studies actually show that the children that help create fresh food meals are more apt to eat the food once prepared. And this goes for school lunches too. You let your child create a power lunch to take to school. I always recommend baby veggies, easy fruit like a tangerine, berries, they're easy to eat. Strive for 7 servings of vegetables a day. That's not hard when you have colorful salads and soups, but you want to always make these health breaks fun and rewarding. And then these also go without saying, keep your food a junk-free zone. You know that expression, out of sight, out of mind. And that's true when it comes to junk foods. You want to keep the highly processed, refined foods at a bare minimum or zero in your home. Let your child choose from a variety of fresh whole foods rather than you always deciding for them what they should be eating, because that gives the power back to choose. But you make sure you offer them a variety of healthy foods from which to select. And then the little third of part one, break the food seduction. Processed foods, those are those foods that are high in sugar, white flour, salt, preservatives, additives. As most people know, they're very addicting. And the more they're eaten, the more they're craved. You and I've talked about this before. What you eat today, you crave tomorrow. That goes for children, teens, and adults. It's always good to begin each meal with a nutrient-dense, high-fiber food so the kids and adults get the nutrients before consuming empty-calorie foods. And then the fourth, D, make quality exercise, sleep, and plenty of water priorities, because lack of movement and exercise, lack of sleep and pure water, it exacerbates and accelerates the craving for processed foods. You want to establish a good exercise routine, nightly sleep routine, encourage ample water drinking, of course, the variety of whole foods, because, and it goes for adults too, feeling tired and cranky, lacking energy or becoming moody is often a sign of dehydration or lack of sleep or lack of exercise. So keep sleep, water, exercise, and a variety of colorful foods to be non-negotiable daily rituals.
That makes perfect sense. And I think, as you said, it's good for children and for adults. We spend so much time on our computers or otherwise distracted when we really should be sleeping. And I would have to agree that water, it's becoming, I don't think I've ever realized how powerful it is. Patients have been telling me that they actually feel the difference when they're hydrated. And it's easy to do, isn't it?
Yes, with water being the beverage of choice. Yes, you could put cucumber slices or mint in it, or you and I talked once before about a cinnamon stick. But stay away from the sodas and the carbonated beverages. Water should be your beverage of choice. And within hours of drinking enough water, and within a day or two, you're going to see that your skin even looks better.
Absolutely. So I'd like to just shift our focus a little bit back to the children. One of the things that is important, I think, is boosting our child's self-esteem. Why do you think that's important?
Oh, it's a great place to start, and it's important because kids start developing their sense of self as babies when they see themselves through their parents' eyes. And your tone of voice, your body language, your every expression are absorbed by your kids. Your words and actions as a parent affect their developing self-esteem more than anything else. So praising accomplishments, however small, will make them feel proud. Letting kids do things independently will make them feel capable and strong. And by contrast, belittling comments or comparing a child's unfavorably with another child will make your kids feel worthless. So always avoid making loaded statements or using words as weapons. Comments like, "What a stupid thing to do," or "You act more like a baby than your little sister," cause damage just as physical blows do. You want to choose your words carefully and be compassionate. Let your kids know that everyone makes mistakes and you still love them even when you don't love their behavior.
That's a really good place to start, I think. And how can we be attentive when our kids are doing the right things?
And I love this one too. Giving kids our undivided attention, just like when someone's talking to you, that's not the time for you to look down and text and do things on your phone. Give people your full attention. We're born with two ears and one mouth, so maybe God was trying to tell us something. Listen a little more. Have you ever stopped to think about how many times you react negatively to your kids in a given day? Maybe you find yourself criticizing far more often than complimenting. You know, how would you feel about a boss who treated you with that much negative guidance, even if it was well-intentioned? So the more effective approach is to catch your kids doing something right. This is when I got my teaching credential at UCLA, and my specialty was early childhood all the way through 12th grade, but especially the young kids. You know, like you could say, "You made your bed without being asked. Isn't that terrific?" And that's a storyline I put in Joy and the Butterfly. Or, "I was watching you play with your sister and you were so patient." These kind of statements will do more to encourage good behavior over the long run than repeated scoldings. So the bottom line right there is to make a point of finding something to praise every day. Be generous with your rewards. Your love, your hugs, your compliments can work wonders and are often reward enough. And soon you'll find you are growing more of the behavior you would like to see.
It sounds really simple to do from what you're saying. So on that note, let's take our first break and come back. You're living in the solution.
This is Dr. Elena George. I'd like to thank you for listening to Living in the Solution. You're what makes this show great. If you like it, please share it with your friends. Subscribe to the podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Living in the Solution. And follow me on my website, drelenageorge.com.
Welcome back to Living in Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones, and we're speaking about children and about how we provide a foundation that's positive and nurturing and compassionate. And I think what you're describing, Susan, is how the child feels is how they react and become as when they become adults. Is that a good way to think about it?
Absolutely. And it does start when they're young. And you just said a key word, because it's about being consistent. You know, if you want to have a healthy exercise program, you've got to be consistent. If you want to eat better foods, you don't go on one day with good foods and you blow it the rest of the week. You've got to be consistent. Now, the same with your children. So be consistent with your discipline and set limits. Discipline is necessary in every household because the goal of discipline is what? to help kids choose acceptable behaviors and learn control. And yes, of course, they're going to test the limits you establish for them, but they need those limits to grow into responsible adults. So establishing some house rules helps kids understand your expectations and develop the self-control. Some rules might include no TV until homework is done, or no hitting, name-calling, or hurtful teasing allowed. And you might want to have a system in place, like what I recommend often to parents is one warning followed by consequences, that's important, such as a timeout or loss of privileges. And a very common mistake parents make is not following through with consequences, because you can't discipline kids for talking back one day and ignoring it the next. You want to be consistent, because that teaches what you expect.
I think that's boundary setting. It's like a, I don't know, like a platform. And it's for me, as a kid, I was really the most productive with teachers who were more strict. It's like you expected something, you had something you needed to strive for. And from what you described, which I never really thought about, the child is choosing to act in a way that is appropriate, right? You're not telling them and them just, you know, in one ear and out the other. It's changes the brain mechanism where I have power, I choose to do the right thing, and I get rewarded for it. Is that one way to think about that?
Yeah, that's exactly the best way to think about it. And remember, you're paying attention and you're capturing those times when they have this positive behavior and you praise their accomplishments because they really want you to be proud of them. So it just means being attentive to the kids and making time for them. All the things that we're talking about today, each one segues into the next.
Well, time is one of the things I think that adults these days don't necessarily have for themselves. So carving out that time where you are turning off your phone, not looking at text, not using, you know, looking at TV, but literally asking them how their day was and being engaged. How do you think that, you know, how do people do that in an effective way?
Yeah, isn't that the truth? You know, it's often hard for parents and kids to get together, even for a family meal that I write about often, how important it is. And by the way, Joy and the Butterfly, The Magical Garden, it's a novelette. You've heard of the word novel. And in case you don't know what a novelette is, it's a short story, typically one that's light, romantic, sentimental in character. So this is a novelette for kids of all ages. And I make sure the family of two parents, you know, like a mom and a dad and six kids, and they've moved from a bustling city to a farm with extended family, with farm animals and magical creatures all over, including a butterfly. I make sure they have meals together every night. And the mom or the dad ring the bell on the porch, kind of like Little House on the Prairie. And all the kids, wherever they're playing in the hills or out with the animals or in the garden, know when it's dinner time. So it's important to find quality time together. But there's probably nothing the kids like more. Maybe you get up 10 minutes earlier in the morning so you can have breakfast with your child. Or guess what? It's okay to leave the dishes in the sink at night and take a walk after dinner. Kids who aren't getting the attention they want from their parents, what do? They often act out or misbehave because they're sure to be noticed that way. And many parents find it rewarding to schedule, like you do maybe with your partner or spouse, a night to be together, a time to be together. Create a special night each week to be together and let your kids help decide how to spend the time. And look for other ways to connect. Maybe a note or something special in your kid's lunchbox. Now, yes, teens... A teenager seems to need a little less undivided attention from their parents than younger kids, but because there are fewer windows of opportunity for parents and teens to get together, I think parents should do their best to be available when their teen does express a desire to talk or participate in family activities, maybe attending concert, games, or other events with your teen communicates caring and lets you get to know more about your child and his or her friends in important ways. And don't feel guilty if you're a working parent, like many parents are. It's the little things you do, like what? Making popcorn, playing cards, window shopping, that kids will always remember.
I agree. It's those memories. And something that you have a foundation, you can have someone in your life who's always had your back and always was your rock. And in my opinion, it should be your family, your parents, if you can have that. And I'd like to see children have their families or their parents as a role model, not celebrities and the rest of the thing that goes on in our society. So with that in mind, how can parents be a good role model for their kids? What traits do we want to model so our kids can learn from us?
Yes, gosh, I love this one. And for everyone in our family and even our friends, I want to be a good role model. I want to inspire people to be healthier. Young kids learn a lot about how to act by watching their parents. And the younger they are, the more cues they take from you. And before you lash out or blow your top in front of your child, think about this. Is this how you want your child to behave when angry? That's a good thing to ask yourself. Be aware that you are constantly being watched by your kids. And studies have shown that kids who hit usually have a role model for aggression at home, and you want to model those traits you wish to see in your kids. And maybe what would those traits be? Maybe respect, friendliness, honesty, kindness, tolerance, a few of the many traits I write about in Joy and the Butterfly. You want to exhibit unselfish behavior. Do things for other people without expecting a reward, like Joy learns in the book's chapter on paying it forward and the importance of living by the golden rule. By the way, in case someone doesn't know, the golden rule comes from the Bible in Matthew 7:12. And express thanks, offer compliments, above all, like the golden rule, like my mom and grandmother taught me to live since I was a young kid, you want to treat your kids the way you expect other people to treat you. It is so important to live by the golden rule in life. If we could just get Dr. Elena, all the world leaders, to live more by the golden rule and maybe read the Bible more, we'd have a much more peaceful planet on which to live.
I don't doubt that. So from the make communication more effective.
So I usually tell parents that you can't expect kids to do everything simply because you, as the parent or caretaker, you could be an aunt, an uncle, a grandparent, a nanny, a babysitter, say that it's got to be done this way. They want and deserve explanations, I think, as much as adults do. So if we don't take time to explain, kids will begin to wonder about our values and motives and whether they have any basis. Even young kids, they might not understand their reasoning, but they get things. And parents who reason with their kids allow them to understand and learn in a non-judgmental way. Because I think when you make explanations clear, then if there's a problem, then I always say, describe it, express your feelings, and invite your child to work on a solution with you. Be sure to include consequences. Make suggestions, offer choices, help them with their reasoning power. Be open to your child's suggestions. In other words, never say, well, that's a stupid comment, or you didn't understand what I was saying. Be open. Negotiate. Kids who participate in decisions are more motivated to carry them out.
So you shouldn't be saying things like, if they ask why, and it says, because I said so. That's
exactly. Yeah, no, because that's just what? That shuts down communication.
That's true.
And then a child will think, why will I bring something up again? I'll just be put down. You always want to keep open the good lines of communication.
And I would think from what we talked about before, you can have better communication if you have time to spend with your child. And to ask them how their day was and to ask more about their friends. And I think question for you is, in this age of electronics, do you think that removing them from that, you know, getting out of AI and all these things that are virtual and actually teaching them the importance of face-to-face communication is really important?
Well, not only do I think it's important, but I make sure that's one of the life lessons in Joy and the Butterfly, because this is a 10-year-old girl, Joy, and then she's got 5 siblings, and none of them, and 3 of them are adopted. One's her twin brother, one's a little 2-year-old sister. The other 3 of different cultures are all adopted, and none of them are allowed to have cell phones, and they'd much rather be outside and play with all the farm animals and explore. So I love all these life lessons and teachings in this little novelette that I wrote. And as a parent, when you give your child your time and you turn off all the technology, the child feels appreciated and valued and loved. And I don't think there's anything better you can give a child or another adult than literally your time and attention to make them feel valued and appreciated. And but it does involve being flexible and yourself, because sometimes you have to adjust your parenting style. And if you are, let's just say, as a parent, you often feel let down by your child's behavior. Perhaps you have, you've got to look at this, unrealistic expectations. Parents who always think in shoulds, like, for example, my kid should be potty trained by now, might find it helpful to read up on the matter or talk to other parents or child development specialists. But kids' environments have an effect on their behavior. So you might be able to change that behavior by changing the environment. For example, if you find yourself constantly saying no, no, which often happens to like a 2-year-old, look for ways to alter your surroundings so that fewer things are off limit. And this will cause less frustration for both of you. And then as your child changes, you'll gradually have to change your parenting style, because chances are what works with your child now won't work in maybe a year or two. Now, teens, let's bring up teens, young adults, tend to look less to their parents and more to peers for their role models. But you still always want to continue guidance, encouragement, and appropriate discipline when allowing your teen to earn's an important word, more independence. And you want to seize every available moment to make that connection with a teenager.
Let's take a break, because I have a question about what we just talked about, parenting style. So Let's take our second break and come back. You're Living in the Solution. Welcome back to Living a Solution. We're speaking with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. And you can go to her website, susansmithjones.com, and there you can find more information about her books and basically the life lessons that we all need to learn. So, Dr. Jones, I had a question about the different parenting styles. I know that, you know, children do change, but what about the parent? I mean, if there's a family history of a certain way to parent that the parent didn't appreciate, how do they work themselves out of that so they don't repeat habits or parenting styles that didn't work?
Well, it always helps to have a loving partner or a sibling or a grandparent, someone to help call attention to you. So you just want to make sure that there's someone loving in your family that might call you on something you do where they can see you're just doing that because that's how you were raised. Someone who might not be judgmental, but if let's say your partner sees you yelling at the child for no reason at all other than you're impatient and you had a bad morning and you just had a fight with your boss, because you can't change what you don't recognize and acknowledge. Often we run on autopilot, don't we? We keep doing the same thing over and over and over. But it's when someone in a family or a best friend, maybe you have a play date and maybe your best friend with her kids sees what you're doing with your kids, and you kind of make an agreement to help each other with these things. And then when you see it, that will help you change your behavior next time. And again, everything takes practice and consistency and being really aware as a parent, because we're not perfect. We're going to make a lot of mistakes. But just you've got to be more in the present moment rather than living, regretting the past, worried about the future, being attentive right in the moment.
Well, in that vein, I think children can sometimes feel that they can't be honest sometimes with their parents because they might be disappointed. So how important is a parent's love? How important is it to be unconditional?
Oh, wow. Well, I'm going to say unconditional love, that's key over everything. Being flexible, willing to adjust your parenting style, and always showing love, always. Because as a parent, you're responsible for correcting and guiding your kids. But how you express your corrective guidance makes all the difference in how a child receives it. We've all been in the grocery store, haven't we? And we've seen kids plop on the ground and cry, and the mom tries to pick them up, and you hear them screaming at the far end of the store, and then your heart goes out to the mom with the unruly kid. But I know you've seen that. I've seen that. Mm-hmm. And when you have to confront your child, keep in mind you want to avoid blaming and criticizing or fault-finding, which always hurts self-esteem and can lead to resentment. And like I said, you are responsible for correcting and guiding your kids. And again, it's always how you express it. So if you're in a terrible mood that day, you've got to push that terrible mood aside, because what your child sees in you now, if you go off the rails too, is something that they're going to remember. So when you confront your child, you want to not blame, don't criticize, don't do fault finding. That will hurt self-esteem and will just lead to resentment. Instead, try to nurture, try to encourage, even when disciplining your kids. and make sure they know that although you want and expect better next time, your love is there no matter what. That's the unconditional love.
I think that's really important and powerful. And how can we extrapolate that as adults to our adult relationships? Because it bleeds into how you treat your child, right? So you talked about your boss, but you have colleagues, you have friends, you have people you encounter in day-to-day life that can really ruin your day or that energy. How can you extrapolate that unconditionally to
others? Yes. And we want to try not to let them, rent space in our minds. So like I said a moment ago, we're all imperfect as people, as parents, but you have strengths and weaknesses. And as a family leader, just acknowledge that. Recognize your abilities. Maybe your ability is I'm loving and I'm dedicated. Maybe you vow to work on your weaknesses. Maybe your weaknesses are I need to be more consistent with discipline, or I need to devote more time to sleep or make healthier meals. Try to have realistic expectations for yourself, your partner, and your kids. And you don't have to have all the answers. A lot of parents think, I've got to have all the answers. You don't. And this is a key lesson I brought up constantly in Joy and the Butterfly, is to always be forgiving of yourself. And try to make parenting a manageable job. Focus on the areas that need the most attention. And rather than trying to address maybe everything at once, you know, it's important to admit it when you're burned out. We all get burned out. Take time out from parenting to do the things that will make you happy. You know, we always say this, and you just mentioned, we've got to fill our cups first, focusing on your needs, and women need to know this, it's so important. Focusing on your needs does not make you selfish. It simply means you care about your well-being. And that's, I think, that's another important value to model for your children. Kids need to see that you taking care of yourself is very important, just like they need to take care of themselves.
Well, they model after the parents. So if you, I like to say, if you are burnt out or worn out and you can't give to yourself, you don't have anything to give to others.
That is so right. You know, I see that all the time, and I especially see this with parents or single moms or dads that have even more than one child, and it's go, 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 and they basically lose their lives. So everything we're talking about today definitely helps. Maybe you do start with something small, like maybe providing a healthy breakfast or getting them to bed a little bit earlier or taking one day out a week to have one-on-one time or, you know, just being consistent or listening when your child's talking to you. You're not texting and looking at your phone or the phone rings and you pick it up or they're trying to talk to you and you're watching The Real Housewives of something on TV. And let's go back to what I said at the very beginning. I think, now don't laugh, because I've seen this so often, a family that exercises together is so happy. I always like to say, too, that every choice we make adds up. We are what we eat, how we exercise, you know, how we move, what we think, what we believe, our faith too. Faith is so important to have as a strong foundation in a family. Happy children are healthy children, and healthy children are happy children. So choose to make health a top priority. And for all parents, adults, caretakers, you got to be proactive. We want to love and protect our children, teach them how to live healthfully. That's not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. They're our future, and they're worth it. And these days, and you know this too, kids spend way too much time, like you intimated earlier, in front of all kinds of screens. You know, video games, TV, computers, their iPhones. And because of that, what's happened? Obesity, especially in childhood, is epidemic. And what does that do? It affects self-esteem. And then the more obese they get, the more they don't want to move because they don't feel comfortable. And then they start getting bullied. It's like a vicious cycle. So whenever you can find ways with your family to exercise together, you want to make a choice to do that, because not only will it make the give the kids energy and make them feel better about themselves, but what happens? You release all those happy hormones in the body, those endorphins that make you not only better physically, but mentally and emotionally.
It's the body's amazing, you know, and the mind and body are connected. And if they're in sync, I think that you become more resilient and everything that you're describing becomes easy to do. So on that note, let's take our last break and come back. You're living in the solution.
This is Dr. Elena George. I'd like to thank you for listening to Living in the Solution. You're what makes this show great. If you like it, please share it with your friends. Subscribe to the podcast. Follow me on Twitter at Living in the Solution. And follow me on my website, drelenageorge.com.
Welcome back to Living a Solution. Again, we're speaking with Dr. Susan Smith-Jones. And, you know, it made me think as we were having our conversation about how important it is to be within, right? To have a foundation, faith, feeling connection to a higher power, to God. And to me, that makes you immune in a lot of ways to what society's trying to foist on us, which is really negative most of the time. Either you're not good enough, you don't look, you know, you're not, your looks aren't good enough, you're too this, too that. But when you have a sense of self, and I think that if the parent has it, to me, the child will develop that. Is that a good way to think about it?
Oh, boy, oh, boy. I'd even put this right up as number one, having a strong, faith-filled family. You know, a family that prays together, that reads the Bible, that says grace before meals, that has a strong foundation that there's something bigger than themselves. And again, we're going back to what we talked about earlier as being a good role model. You know, to have parents or caretakers say when a child asks a question and has a problem or a challenge, have the parent or the caretaker say, let's pray about that, or let's take this to God, or even positive things. Because I'm a big believer that we all have guardian angels. Something I write about in Joy and the Butterfly. And when the children see the parents modeling these positive traits and having their strong belief in God and maybe going to church on Sundays or maybe going outdoors, whenever I think, and this is another big thing in Joy and the Butterfly, I keep saying that, but is the importance of spending time out in nature. It's hard to deny the presence of God when you're out in nature and you look at the beauty all around you, the absolute beauty of nature. Ralph Waldo Emerson said once, I'm paraphrasing him, that he likes to look at nature because it's God's handwriting everywhere in nature. When you look at the butterflies and dragonflies and hummingbirds and the clouds and the mountains and the trees and the ocean, and you look at all of this beauty around you, I feel even closer to God. I live in Brentwood, Santa Monica area. And right near my home, I have lots of trailheads. So I'm hiking a lot. And hiking is like a cathedral to me. I never go out and hike and ever say when I come back from the hike, oh, I wished I hadn't hiked today. I like to do this early in the morning, 3-4 times a week. Unfortunately, I can rarely find anyone to get up early enough to go with me, so I'm usually alone. But then I get to listen to the beautiful rejuvenation of the silence all around me. You know the expression, silence is golden. And that's when we hear God in silence. If you're always going nonstop from the moment you wake up till you go to bed at night, running around, harried and hurried, it's hard to tune in to the vibration of love and peace and joy that's always right there within your heart. And being out in nature, even if it's the nature of your backyard, you know, maybe you put a few potted flowers out there, maybe you have a little grass in your yard, and then make sure, you and I've talked about this before, take your shoes off, walk barefoot on the grass, do a little earthing, because our Mother Earth is alive, and we transfer those beautiful electrons from when you take your shoes off and walk on the natural earth. We transfer those electrons into our body that keep us healthier. And, you know, if ever I'm stressed out, I just make sure I do a little bit of earthing and I pray and I talk to my guardian angels. I do a lot of things that help keep me grounded and centered and peaceful and happy. Now, yes, I have bad days. Yes, I can get completely stressed out, especially if I don't sleep well at night. You got to make good sleep being non-negotiable, especially for kids. But then I know how to get back to center. You know, like if you go on a vacation, you come home, you've gained 5 pounds, or you go out and you splurge one night with your girlfriends with a big meal, then get back on track the next day. Don't have the attitude on a Friday night, oh, I'll just keep splurging and I'll start again on Monday. Get right back to the program and what you know works. And again, we're getting back to a little self-discipline.
Well, that's how you model, right? So if the parent has self-discipline, it helps the child learn.
That's right.
That skill.
Yes, and you know, you just reminded me of something. I know so many parents, especially women, the moms, who, guess what? They say negative things about their body. They look in the mirror and they say, oh, I'm so fat. Oh, there's nothing in my closet that fits me. Oh, maybe I don't want to go meet the girls tonight because I'm not feeling good. Well, the kids pick up on everything, and those aren't the positive, that's not the kind of positive role modeling you want to pass on to your sons or daughters. You always make sure that you never denigrate your body. And if it happens and your child's there, then you explain that wasn't the best thing to say. And just make sure you're attentive to not saying these things in front of your children. But many parents do that, especially moms.
Well, it's, you know, you are what you say, aren't you? I mean, what you say puts energy out there. And to me, the whole the parenting lifestyle, it seems to be a lot of one thing to the next, overscheduling. How important is it to, you know, your child should have an activity, no question, but is there something to be said about overdoing it?
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Yes, yes, yes. That over-scheduling can make all these principles and strategies we talked about today, it can make them go right out the window. Because if you're over-scheduled, it's hard to give your attention. It's hard to be a good role model. It's hard to show your unconditional love. If you don't take care of yourself first, you'll be less patient for your child. It will affect your child's self-esteem. So just remember, Henry David Thoreau said, I love this expression, life is frittered away by detail. Simplify, simplify. Well, he could have said simplify once. No, I'm just kidding. Simplify, simplify. And he's right. There's often so much, so many demands we put on ourselves when the simple life is better. And you know, one simple way to simplify your life fairly quickly is less technology screen time. You know, maybe you let your children have 1 hour a day, whatever works for you, but you can't give them an hour of screen time a day and then you're on a screen 15 hours a day. You know, you want to model that behavior, but there's so much time that goes into the screen time that affects you physically and mentally and emotionally and spiritually.
I think that's really a cautionary statement that people need to really evaluate this. You're just living the moment and you're not paying attention, but this is about being mindful now. Now, in the minutes that we have left, I want to make sure people know, how can they buy your new Holistic Health and Positive Lifestyle books for both children and adults?
Yes, well, you can go to my website, SusanSmithJones.com, and you can go to books in the navigation bar, and you can see Uplifted. That subtitle is 12, it's for adults, 12 Minutes to More Joy, Faith, Peace, Kindness, and Vitality. And then you'll see this new children's book, Joy in the Butterfly, The Magical Garden. Can I just give you a quick synopsis of what it's about, this novelette?
Sure.
It's an enchanting book for children, teachers, the young at heart at any age. Adults are loving it as much as children. It's full color, beautiful images. It's been a story that's been in my mind for decades. And while exploring her family's farmland with her horse, 10-year-old Joy, she moved to the countryside with her parents to escape the hustle and bustle of the city. I didn't name any city. And she rescues a caterpillar from harm. And this act of kindness leads her into an extraordinary bond with a dazzling butterfly that later in the story emerges from the chrysalis and all of a sudden turns into a butterfly. So you learn a lot about nature. And Joy embarks on these adventures, all these stories, alongside her magical butterfly, her family, her friends, school teachers, pets. And most of all, Joy learns that each day presents us with blessed opportunities to learn, grow, live fully, optimize our well-being and happiness if we pay attention to the whisperings of our heart. And in this book, you learn that each day comes bearing all these great gifts for us and opportunities to thrive. We simply need to untie the ribbons. And near the end of the book, Joy discovers something so glorious. And Joy asks you at the end of the book to keep it a secret and not tell anyone who hasn't read the book yet. But I'll tell you right now, this happy secret divulged at the end of the book will knock your socks off. And it will make all kids want to be more kind, be outdoors more, be in nature, count their blessings, have more faith in their lives, love all aspects of nature, pay it forward. It's like a value-driven little novelette for kids of all ages. Because if you're really young, I give you questions at the end of the book that parents can ask young kids. How many butterflies do you see on this page? What color is the wagon? But if you're older, then you can read it like a novel. It is my favorite. Well, I've written a few kids' books. It's my most favorite, Joy in the Butterfly, The Magical Garden.
Well, Dr. Jones, You know, time goes so fast, and I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join me today, because this conversation is, it's uplifting, and it's important that people have a different frame of reference instead of doing the same thing, expecting a different result, or not being able to understand why they can't connect with their children. Our society is based on us as humans being able to be better, and the parents have to teach their children, and you're giving them a primer on how to do that. So I want to thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure and an honor.
Thank you so much. I look forward to our next visit.
Me too. I hope you have a blessed day. And I want to thank everybody for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.